When I was in seventh grade, I had to do a bunch of geography lessons in school, and I had to memorize all 50 states. And if I did, I would get like some points or like some candy or some sort of reward for it. And certain states always tripped me up, like Colorado and Wyoming, really similar. And the way they would be displayed, which is not like on the map, but like just like the shape of them. And it was really hard to tell the difference. And I was just like, why are these places separate? Why don't we just put them together? And thinking about some other states too, like really small ones like Delaware, Rhode Island, I was always very confused at why these states just existed. But that's our topic for today on Ministry During the Disruption. What's up with all these states and all these boundaries? I'm Kyle, and this is Ministry During the Disruption. Hello, hello, welcome to the podcast, and I'm Kyle Lee, your host, and this is Ministry During the Disruption, and I'm here with my senior state and boundary correspondent, Steve Tamayo.
Hey, Kyle, glad to be back on the podcast. I have some statements to make about the state of our states here in the United States of America.
Oh my gosh, that's so many states. I was also going to say maybe you're our senior cartographer correspondent, because that's the person who draws the maps and makes all the boundaries and lines. But
yeah, fancy maps.
Fancy maps, fancy maps. I'm a big fan of fancy maps. Okay, but you have a hot take for us on all of these states. So why don't you state your opinion?
We have way too many states. Way, way, way too many states. Kyle, you've already alluded to it. We could merge these states. Now, that's not a very unique take. Lots of people have been saying that we should just merge North Dakota and South Dakota, call it Dakota. You could merge Virginia and West Virginia and call it, I don't know, Virginia. You could merge North Carolina, South Carolina, just like the North, South, East, West things, just merge them together, and it would add a lot more simplicity to our geography. But I think you'd go in even a step further. As you start to rearrange and reorder our states, as someone who lives in Florida, I think Tampa, Orlando, Miami should kind of be their own state, and the northern part should really be part of Alabama. Like, we should just give the panhandle of Florida to Alabama. Maybe we should give, like, Gainesville, Jacksonville, that kind of center part of the state of Florida, just give it to Georgia. I think it would just clean some things up. So I'm not just in favor of fewer states. I also think there's a rationale to be made for reordering state lines around different state personalities.
Okay, so as a former Virginian, I would say West Virginia and Virginia should remain separate.
Well, okay, but here's the thing. In Virginia, there's West Virginia, and then there's Western Virginia, which is much more like West Virginia than Northern Virginia.
Well, so I was going to say, you also, though, have a very distinct region of Northern Virginia, right? Where some people will call it the DMV, the DC, Maryland, Virginia area, right? Because right around Washington, DC, that's its own unique place. If you look at how it votes and the culture there, very distinct. And the rest of Virginia is like kind of like North Carolina, kind of West Virginia.
I mean, it's really wild that DC is not a state. I mean, it's
That's
wild to me about that. I mean, like, I know I just came out a minute ago in favor of, like, fewer states, but, like, how is D.C. not a state?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of weird history there, too, and, like, the fact that people who live in D.C. and are D.C. residents don't have the right to vote, and there's all this weird stuff. But I would say, yeah, like, those states there, they should be, like, the Maryland, like, Southern Maryland and, like, Northern Virginia and D.C., that should be, like, a state or, like, its own entity. And then like Eastern Maryland, that's completely different. Maybe East Virginia could be like part of that a little bit, like the Virginia Beach area, maybe, but because that's like somewhat similar.
You could take Eastern Maryland or Western Maryland, the part of Maryland that's not in that DC metroplex, and you just give it to West Virginia.
Yeah. I mean, if you're from those areas, maybe you disagree, but I totally feel like that's the case. And then, like, what's the difference as a former Bostonian? What's the difference between Massachusetts and Connecticut?
Seriously. Just smash them together. Roll Rhode Island in there, and you'd have a nice little rectangle. No one would even notice. Same thing, Vermont and New Hampshire. You just, like, you don't remove that little dividing line between them, and you got a nice square place. I also think, kind of while we're kind of ragging on geography, that New York City should be the capital of New York. Like, how is New York City not the capital of New York?
I mean, I also think New York City should be its own state or, like, its own entity, because the difference between New York City and, like, actual New York State is so different. It, like operating there as a staff worker for a while, like, people who are in upstate, completely different.
Yeah, and this is part of what I wanted us to talk about today when it comes to ministry during the disruption. Is because actually the way we think about the borders and boundaries of our ministry is really wild. You know, like, why are there so many campus ministries? And, you know, you could go through and you could say, well, you know, you don't really need InterVarsity and Crew and Baptist campus ministries. There are way too many campus ministries. But I will say that once you're inside one of those campus ministries, you understand why this is there. So I can make all kinds of goofy jokes about how we should merge North Dakota and South Dakota, but I guarantee that there's somebody from South Dakota who knows why there are two Dakotas and can make a strong case for it. Same thing. Why is it that it's important for New York City and the rest of New York State to be linked together? There's probably something really healthy about having both of those together in the same mix, the same way it's really healthy for us to have multi-ethnic chapters and ethnic-specific chapters together in the same mix.
Yeah, I mean, for the New York example, especially, like, just taxes alone for New York City is going to help fund the rest of New York State, that's for sure. I mean, all the nature access, even the ability for, like, for Cornell to be in-state or, like, Syracuse to be in-state for those things as well. There's definitely some reasons. Now, I would like to challenge that and say, though, in some ways, it might be good to, just because when you're inside, we understand why. Sometimes you're inside and you don't understand why. Like, Eastern New Jersey, like, right along the New York City area, basically just New York City, like Jersey City, like Hoboken, like that area, basically New York City, especially Jersey City now. It's, like, really close, right? But if you were to say, like, what's not, as someone who's living here, Long Island is not New York City. Like, that's, Long Islanders might want to disagree. But I as a New Yorker, it's definitely different, right? So there's, like, this distinction of both where, like, some of those boundaries are not logical, like, to me. Right. Or, like, I was talking about with the D.C., Maryland, Northern Virginia area, like, that's just all one area to me as someone who lived there. But those arbitrary boundaries are like.
So what does that mean for ministry?
Well, I think we have to think about, OK, there's somebody who knows what's inside and why that ministry is there and why it exists or why this particular group exists or whatever. They know. Right. At the same time, if somebody who really knows can also see that there is boundaries and things that are set up that maybe they were logical before, right? But now doesn't make as much sense, right? And for the original founding of the country with geography, right? New Jersey was its own separate colony. So was Maryland and Virginia. And DC was carved out between the two of those things to make the nation's capital, right? There was historical reasons. Now, though, they're not that much different, those areas. And that things have changed and morphed over time so that those boundaries are kind of no longer needed. And I think that can be kind of the case for us, too, where we've decided, OK, we're only going to have these types of ministries or these boundaries. Right. But in reality, it could be really cool to mix it up. For example, you could have a space where you historically decided we're only going to have men's small groups and women's small groups. Right. That could be and there could be great reasons for that. Right. But now that you've evolved over time, it actually would be nice to kind of put them together. Also, because sometimes, right, if you have gender-specific small groups, sometimes you just create a gender divide within your chapter. And that could be a big deal, right?
Well, and it also makes it very complicated for non-binary persons who are connecting with our ministry.
Right. So nowadays, right, especially as we become more aware about non-binary brothers and sisters, right, like that's like something to consider moving on from, right? Though we had great reasons for those boundaries beforehand.
Yeah. And, you know, there is something about once a boundary exists, a border exists, we circle back around to justify its existence. And they are very difficult to change. I was incredibly proud of this. So I went to Duke University. I'm proud of that, but that's not the story I'm going to tell.
Boo.
Yeah, I know. Basketball rivalry. But here's the thing that happened. Duke InterVarsity started to reach more and more Asian American students, particularly Chinese and Korean, Chinese American and Korean American students. And it was a multi-ethnic chapter when I was there. There it was about half white, half Asian American, and then some people like me who were mixed or some Black students who were involved in the ministry. And over the 10 years that followed, it became more and more Asian oriented. And the ministry very much valued multi-ethnicity. And yet they were only reaching a very narrow slice of the ethnic communities on campus. And they made a decision to become an official Asian American ministry so they could reach the diverse Asian American communities on campus. And what has happened at Duke InterVarsity is remarkable. It was the first chapter in the United States that I'm aware of that went from being a multi-ethnic chapter to an Asian American ministries chapter. And as a result of that, they're reaching Thai students, Japanese students, students from Thailand, Filipino students. They're reaching the breadth of the Asian American community because they kind of gave themselves permission to shift their focus and their boundaries. Now, they didn't shift their focus on the gospel. They didn't shift their focus on scripture. They didn't shift their focus on Bible study, prayer, evangelism, anything like that. They just shifted a little bit of their boundaries of their ministry. And I had a chance to preach at the first large group after they made that change, you know, as someone who is not Asian American, and just tell those students how proud I was of them for making that change, because I know how hard it was for them to do. And the Lord has brought great fruit through that ministry.
Yeah. So definitely one of those things where boundaries are difficult to change, but we want to remain flexible. Because, back to Jesus, as we often try to do, right, there was a boundary between heaven and earth, and Jesus broke through that boundary and died on the cross so that we could transcend that boundary and barrier. And if he had just been like, if the barrier's in place, we would be in a terrible spot.
We would. So let's kind of close with that. We want to encourage you, look around the state of your ministry. And ask, are there any borders here, any boundaries, any state lines that are arbitrarily drawn and are no longer useful for what God has called us to do on this campus in this season? Consider some mergers. Consider some reshuffling. Just consider what it is that God would have you do to reach the people he sent you to.
The caveat and such addition to that, I would say, is because, as we talked about at the beginning, there are people who are inside and know why the barriers exist. If you're an outsider, make sure you ask and figure out how, like, what you might think is arbitrary may not be arbitrary at all. What you might think is solid may not be arbitrary. So make sure to go ask those people who are inside.
And now a word from our sponsor. Today's episode is brought to you by the Ministry Playbook. As you're thinking through how to reorganize and reshuffle your ministry during this disruption, the Ministry Playbook can help. It's a collection of InterVarsity's best resources and training that can help you level up your ministry game. You can take courses on Depending on the Spirit, reaching new students, even courses on coaching. We would love to have you access this free resource at ministryplaybook.com. That's the ministryplaybook.com.
And just like those arbitrary boundaries we have, there's some arbitrary distance boundaries between you and I, you the listener, and I us here at MDD, Ministry During Disruption. We would love to break through those barriers and boundaries. And ways you can do that are to subscribe to our podcast, rate and review us so more people can hear about what we're doing, and also connect with us on Instagram at Ministry During the Disruption.